Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Osprey Medical Quarterly Investor Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mike McCormick, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Osprey Medical's quarterly results call for the period ending 31st of March 2020. Pleased to be joined on this call by Nancy Ness, Osprey's CFO. Earlier today, we released our Appendix 4C for the first quarter of 2020, and I'd like to update you on some of the key results that we had for the quarter. But before diving into the details, I wanted to comment on the COVID-19 business conditions and certainly the health conditions within the U.S. healthcare system. As you all know, these are incredibly challenging times. The company's first priority has got to be for the health and safety and well-being of our employees, our customers, and our patients. While we believe strongly in the long-term prospects of our business and the reduction of AKI for cardiac patients, we did see a material reduction in Q1 revenues that was directly related to the reduction in heart procedures that were any of the elective heart procedures in the month of March due to COVID-19. We've implemented several measures to reduce operating expenses and enable us to navigate the pandemic. Our business remains very strong with growth catalysts, including the GE Healthcare Distribution Agreement for outside the United States that's expected to be finalized in the second quarter, and additional publications this quarter that I'll detail you on, as well as the Diamond Clinical Registry that is accelerating. We expect that once we are through this period of uncertainty, we have a very strong foundation that will allow us to build on our sustained growth in the future. So to jump into a couple of the highlights, and then I'll get into some details, in spite of the economic challenges certainly that COVID has produced on the world markets, Osprey did raise $12.5 million through an entitlement and a U.S. government COVID-19 relief loan that ended up closing subsequent to the end of Q1 in the April timeframe, and I'll give you some more details on that. In Q1, total unit sales were at 1,775 units. That was down 33% over prior corresponding period due to the postponement of elective cardiac procedures as a result of COVID-19. We have initiated a cost-out program that's underway to ensure Osprey can successfully navigate the COVID-19 pandemic with a strong balance sheet as we come out of the other side of it. Our discussions with GE to commercialize our products outside the United States continues to be on track, and we expect it to finalize in the second quarter of 2020. And we saw accelerated Dimetis registry entrance, and I'll certainly give you some updates on that. So as we turn into some of the details of each of these bullet points that I just went through, we'll start off first with the fundraising update. To support the continued commercial growth of our business, Osprey's raised $12.5 million from two different sources. One, the first one is a $10.3 million entitlement offer, and the second was a $2.2 million U.S. government COVID-19 relief loan. The COVID-19 relief loan was a paycheck, it's called the Paycheck Protection Program, or the PPP, and it's administered by the Small Business Administration of the United States. And it's for the purposes of paying for payroll, rent, and utilities with loan amounts that are paid on those forgiven when it's used for those purposes. Osprey expects about 50% of the loan that we've received will be forgiven, and for the remaining balances, we'll have two-year payment terms on that at a 1% interest rate. We ended the quarter with a cash balance of $5.3 million Australia on hand, and that does not include any of the entitlement offer proceeds or the COVID-19 relief benefits. Now I'll turn to our unit and revenue performance and give you an update on that. In the first quarter of 2020, Sales were down 33% and ended at 1,775 units. And that was off the back of COVID-19 as hospitals moved to postpone elective procedures in the month of March. And also, we saw negligible sales, only 20 units in Europe, as we started to transition to the GE distribution platform, and our current distributors in the markets of Italy and the UK had very minimal orders of only 20 units. Despite the drop-off in our unit sales, particularly in the United States, we still have a robust pipeline. We've got 20 customers that are in the sample-to-purchase pipeline. Now, when COVID happened, obviously, many of those slowed down, but we do expect those to be able to pick up again as the COVID, as elective procedures start to be reinitiated in the United States. Unaudited worldwide quarterly revenues were at $584,407 in the first quarter of 2020, which was down 29% to the prior corresponding period. We had cash receipts of $766,856 during the quarter. That was down 10% to the prior corresponding period. And in the first quarter of 2020, net cash used in operating activities was at $4.8 million, and that was down 2% to the prior corresponding period. I'll turn now to an update on GE arrangements and our arrangements with GE. The discussions with them are progressing nicely. We expect formal definitive distribution agreements will be signed in this quarter, in the second quarter of 2020. The agreement right now calls for a four-year exclusive distribution arrangement with GE to be the commercialization agent for our products in Europe, Russia, the Middle East, Africa, Central Asia, and Turkey. And we do have an opportunity, and both sides are working hard to get this in place as quickly as possible so that we can initiate training in the time when a lot of the procedures are being postponed due to the COVID crisis. I'll turn now to our sales cost out, or to our renewed focus on our most profitable sales territories and a cost out program and give you some details on that. Due to the impact, the revenue impact of COVID-19 and the reduction of the elective cardiology procedures, we shifted our focus to the most profitable sales territories that we have. And we collapsed some sales territories and put those, a few accounts that were ordering those into existing sales territories. That resulted in a 33% reduction in our sales force, with all the remaining sales team that's still on board taking a 20% reduction in their base salary. Internally, for our internal departments, the office-based staff in Minneapolis, 35% of that group was furloughed, with the remaining staff members taking a 20% reduction in base salary. The independent non-executive directors have foregone compensation for all of Q1 and Q2. Q1, Q2, and Q3, or let me restate that, for the period of Q2 and Q3, and then pending shareholder approval, they'll take stock options in lieu of cash for the period of Q4 of this year, Q1, and Q2 of next year. We've also made reductions in non-essential marketing, sales, product development, and general administrative expenses. Despite the pandemic, Osprey continues to maintain streamlined manufacturing, assembly, and fulfillment, and other related processes to ensure that we continue to provide products to our customers with the highest quality possible. For our employees involved in these critical operations, we have implemented several recommended best practices, including social distancing and wiping of all surfaces to protect their own health while they're performing these essential duties. We'll continue to monitor the COVID-19 impact on business conditions within the hospitals, and we will stage further reductions if necessary, and we'll reinstate furloughed employees as business conditions recover. Now on the bright side, a couple of things that were very good for the quarter. The Diminish Registry is a registry that we've initiated, and it ramped up considerably in the quarter. We ended the quarter with we're at about 1,100 enrollments in across eight cardiovascular centers for this trial. We've seen a sharp rise in enrollments, which is unusual. Most companies talk about clinical activities have diminished because a lot of clinical activities involve patients coming back to the hospital or to the physician's practice for a revisit. Ours is unique in that most of our data is retrospective, so they're able to go into their database systems and retrieve data and add it into the registry. And so we've had a number of clinical research coordinators and clinical research people that work in the hospital that have more time, and they've been able to devote more time to our project, and so we've seen quite a spike in our enrollment. We expect that will continue throughout the entirety of the second quarter and into the third quarter, and we're looking forward to publications coming out from the registry. We expect our first one in the back half of 2020. On the publications side, we also mentioned this in this quarterly results, that we had three significant abstracts that were submitted to major conferences, two major conferences, the Society of Cardiovascular Angiography and the EuroPCR. Unfortunately, those world meetings, congresses, are not going to be held, but they're still going to publish those abstracts, and those abstracts are important because they show the DIVERT system's role in AKI reduction. So that gives you a quick overview of our results in the first quarter, and I'm now open to any questions that anybody may have.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel the request, please press star 2. And if you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. I will now pause momentarily to allow questioners to register. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. The first question comes from Anoop Kalra, private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Anoop.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good.
A couple of questions from me, just in terms of the unit trajectory. So obviously it was down 33%. In the quarter. Can you give us a feel for what the monthly run rate is kind of in the middle of the COVID situation at the moment?
Yeah, so it was down 33%. You're exactly right, Anoop. It was down 33%. In the United States, it was down 26%. So it wasn't quite as bad, but we only had 20 units from Europe because of the transition. So we knew that that was going to be a difficult time for Europe. But in the United States, it was down. So now you're asking, like, in the month of April, how are things going in the month of April? The month of April is a tough month, and we knew it would be a tough month. Elective procedures, you probably, I'm not saying anything that people don't know. Elective procedures have been almost completely shut down in the month of April. We do hear reports. They are beginning to come back in May, slowly, but they are beginning to come back. So in cardiac, we're a cardiac company. So why does it affect cardiac companies? If you look at the cardiac cath lab, about 50%, 60% of what they do is elective cardiac procedures. The remainder is urgent or emergency. Emergencies are heart attacks where you're in the ambulance. Those, of course, they were still doing throughout the COVID crisis. Urgent procedures, it depended on a variety of factors, whether those were being done or not. Those are clearly the ones that we're seeing done in the back half of the month of April and the ones that we are seeing started to be scheduled in May. So we do see a stronger recovery in May, but April was tough. It was in line with what we saw in March that was very low.
Okay. So would it be fair to say that your March sales were maybe 10% of the total quarter sales. Is that a fair kind of assessment? Is that a couple hundred
yes,
units
it is.
In March? Okay.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Just to better understand the cost base as well, Mike, is it roughly a 40% reduction in the cost base that you're looking at for the moment?
It's probably closer to 35 to 38%. Nancy, anything you would add there?
No. Hi, this is Nancy. I would agree with Mike. It's probably more in the 35% range when
okay.
we talk about everything impacted.
Okay. So the cost base, the gross cost base, it will go from about 5.5 down to about 3.8 odd million. Is that correct?
That's what I'm looking at in the future, for the future months, or
yep.
future
okay.
quarter, I mean.
Okay. And then just finally, in terms of the GE deal, can you give us, I guess, a bit of a feel for where it's at in terms of what terms have been agreed and what needs to be negotiated still?
Yeah, hey, it's a really good question, Anoop. And what I can tell you is, okay, working with these very large, there actually is, there's not a lot of relevant terms that are still in deep negotiation. It's a lot of small things. They are primarily, the group we work with is the pharmaceutical diagnostics group.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they're a pharmaceutical diagnostics group, they're pharmaceutical to begin with, their scrutiny or their screening process is very extensive around brochures, language, all this stuff. And we're a device company, so there is some complexity when you're mixing device with pharma. And we're navigating through that. There are also small things like what does the label attribution look like on the box? GE's attribution, they want their attribution on there, that it's obviously distributed by them. And it's not an issue for us. It's just trying to make sure you get all the different departments. There's many departments that opine at GE. We can make decisions quickly at Osprey within days. GE takes longer. I will also say that the COVID crisis has slowed things down a bit. Their corporate offices for Europe are based in Milan, and
okay.
Milan was hit by this in very early February, as many of you know. It's one of the global hotspots. And so everybody working, all those GE people working remotely has slowed things down a bit too. But there aren't any major sticking points or ongoing negotiated items that are sticking points. It's more trying to get everybody on the same page.
So in terms of it, prices have been agreed, I presume, transfer price?
Transfer price has been agreed to. Minimum quantities have been agreed to.
The minimum quantities, Are these take or pay quantities, or is this in order to keep the exclusivity?
Exclusivity. It
okay.
controls exclusivity.
Yep.
Okay. I do expect. So it's a good question, Anoop, and I don't want to leave it just right there. I do expect, you know, first year minimums obviously are probably going to be a subject area that we may talk with them about because of the COVID-19 crisis. And
yep.
the inability to get into hospitals, any sales reps to get into hospitals.
Yep.
What I would anticipate, and what actually the parties have talked about, is the program could end up being 4.5-year program instead of a 4-year program. So
okay.
the minimums, transfer price, all of it would stay the same. It's the time may go a bit longer because of the COVID issue. That's
okay.
not set in stone yet, but that's what the parties have discussed.
Okay. And the other key terms that have been kind of agreed, Mike?
The key terms for us is obviously the minimum units for exclusivity, the transfer price, and also the length of time. So all those have been described and discussed. Commercialization efforts have been described and discussed and agreed to. Commissions that they would pay. They set their own commission, but they wouldn't disenfranchise our product or minimize how they'll market it, put it at their booth. All of those terms have been discussed, and those are all included
in the deal. Okay, and in terms of their potential success, what do they sell into a cath lab or in a hospital or an independent cath lab in Europe at the moment? So what gives you confidence that they'll be able to do a good job?
Yeah, really good question. So we're working with the Pharmaceutical Diagnostics Group, and what they primarily sell is they sell the imaging agents, and they have two primary ones that they sell to the cardiac cath lab. One of them's called Visipake, and one of them's called Omnipake. Omnipake is a workhorse, and it competes with Barocco, who's the other large player. Barocco has a dye that's like Omnipake. They're what's called isoosmolar, but they're not low isoosmolar. So GE is the only one who sells a specialty dye called Visipake that has a low osmolar content to it. And the key attribute of that is some studies show that that is better for patients with poor kidney function. Yep. In fact, most clinical trials that are studying kidney function related to contrast require the use in the study of Visipake. So GE is very used to selling a premium-priced solution for reduction of AKI. Yep. The Visipake product costs about three times the workhorse or the Omnipake product. And they sell that three times more expensive contrast or dye for the reduction of kidney damage. And it's been around for, that product's been around for 10 years. In fact, when we did our clinical trial that got us the claims that we have, we required hospitals use Visipake. So they see our product as a way to bundle our products together. So they've obviously got Visipake. And they're very good at selling value-based solution for AKI reduction. And when they combine it with something that saves on the amount of contrast that's used in the procedure, they're very good at already selling that value proposition of reduced AKI. So that's the primary benefit that we have with working with them. And then in interventional cardiology in Europe, they also sell a product called Rapiscan. That is a vasodilator that helps with a procedure called FFR, fractional flow reserve, and they use that to determine the severity of a obstruction in an artery before they put a stent in there. So that's obviously a physician call sale, as is ours, as is Visipake.
It sounds like they're a pretty ideal partner, Mike. What proportion of the European market do you think they would have representation in?
In Europe, they have 50% of the contrast media market, and the other 50%, yeah, Barocco and all the other players. But Barocco is probably, of the remaining, Barocco is 30, 35%. Then there's Group A, and then there's Bayer. But they're the biggest player, GE, at about 50%.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. McCormick for closing comments.
I'd like to thank everybody for phoning in today and listening to the results call. It was a tough quarter. I do know it was a tough quarter, and it's not the kind of growth that we expect or that our sales force expects. We know that that this will recover, and that patients that have heart disease are going to be coming back to the hospital. These are postponed procedures. These are not eliminated procedures. So we do expect they will come back. It's always a matter of time as the world begins to loosen on these restrictions. And we look forward in future quarters to giving you updates on how this recovery has gone. So thanks once again for calling in. We look forward to chatting with you in the future.